Well, we're going to take one more week break from Romans. So we're going to get back into Romans chapter 8 next week. But this week, we're going to focus on our challenge for 2020. If you remember, each year as Joy Community Fellowship, we have a challenge. And challenges are designed to help us not only grow as individuals, but also as a church family. And it's something we visit once a month as we go. If you remember last year, our challenge was becoming, which was where we looked at following Jesus and becoming his disciples. 2 years ago, it was embracing the uncomfortable, if you remember that, where we talked about all these grasping these difficult aspects of following Jesus with courage and passion. So as we enter 2020, what is our challenge? Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but living as a Christian today in our world, it's becoming more and more challenging, isn't it? We face increasing hostility as we share Jesus with others. We face increasing apathy and indifference when we're inviting other people to church or telling them about church. We're facing more pressures on our time and our energy and our families and living out our faith. In fact, sometimes it can feel downright discouraging to live as a Christian in our world today. And I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but it can be hard sometimes, but there is hope. Because it's for a time like this that God has placed us right where we are to share Jesus with our friends and our family and our coworkers and our world. And he wants to make sure we can do it with joy, with great joy. And in order to face this call better, and in order that we face that, you know, and looking at our world, there's a couple things we need to kind of have in our pocket to understand what's going on really in our world. So I want to share with you a few truths that we need to keep in mind as we're living out in our world. And here's one truth. Our world isn't getting any better. Did you know that? Our world isn't getting any better. Actually, it can't without Jesus. It's going to continue to get more hostile. We're going to continue to see horrible things happening on the news. I mean, look at the news this week. You're just like, man, can things get any worse? Well, yeah, they probably can, and they probably will. I mean, we'll still face hostility, deal with hardship. You know, we'll still witness discouraging things going on all around us. So that's our first thing we need to realize. Now, this leads us to another truth, and it's this. We are closer right now than we've ever been to the return of Jesus. Now, logically, that makes sense, right? If he's coming in the future, every second we get, we're closer, right? But we are closer than ever to the return of Jesus, where he will establish peace and his kingdom, and we will live with him for all eternity. Here's the truth. Time is running out. And this can be seen as a really good thing for us as believers, because we're going to be reunited with God in heaven forever, and it's going to be awesome. But you know, it's a bad thing for those that have never come to faith in Jesus Christ alone. See, time is running out for them as well. So we need to make the most of every opportunity we have to share Jesus and live him out in our world. And this brings us to our third truth. Living out this call to bring Jesus out into our world is best done as we live it out together. Do you know that? In fact, we are better together as a community of believers, as a church family, as groups, as family groups that follow Jesus. So it's time for us to band together all the more so that we can strengthen each other, encourage each other, and stand together as we share Jesus. You know, no one should go it alone. So you know what this year is all about? It's a time for joy together. You know, the author of Hebrews, he was writing to followers of Jesus who were facing, they were going through something very similar in their walk with Jesus, in their world. They were trying to live out their call in an increasingly difficult climate. So here's what The author of Hebrews tells his readers in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Isn't that neat? See, the writer's saying, hey, we need to be together. We're better together. You see, following Jesus in our world today, it's not for wimps. And sometimes it can be tempting to isolate ourselves rather than joining together. Isolating ourselves, saying, man, it's just too hard, and being around people, then it gets more complex. I just want to just do my own thing. And isolate ourselves rather than joining together, linking arms, celebrating Jesus together as we face whatever comes in our way. So, this year, one Sunday a month, we're going to take a break from our regular messages and visit this challenge, Joy Together. So some of the subject matters we're going to be looking at this year are things like worship together, serve together, sharing together, celebrating together, and how we do this better together. But this morning, we're going to kick off this challenge with something that's very foundational: praying together. So if you have your Bibles today, open up to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, Paul's first letter to Timothy. It's in the New Testament, chapter 2. I think it's on page 991 in the Pew Bible in front of you. If you brought your own Bible, I'm not sure what page it's on, but it's there. It's in the New Testament. And what Timothy's all about, it's a letter from Paul, you know, who's this great hero of the faith, and he's writing it to this guy, Timothy. Timothy is kind of his young protege, who Paul is training Timothy not only how to live out his faith, but how to lead others. So some of what is in this letter to Timothy, Paul's getting close to the end of his life, so he's trying to give this advice to Timothy, and he's trying to teach him not only how he should follow, but how he should lead the church, or what's important for the church to be doing. And here in chapter 2 is one of those times where he's challenging the church and saying, here's what I want you to teach the church or urge the church to be doing. Okay? So 2 Timothy chapter 2, here's what he says. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So what Paul's saying, he says, I urge you, right? I urge believers to be praying together, and to be praying together for your needs, and to be praying together for your leaders. Because it's a good thing, right? He says, praying together, it's good and pleasing to God. Because praying together helps us share Jesus better. And God wants people to know about Jesus. So he's basically saying, God, you know, God has ordained prayer. Prayer is something very important to God. God has given us prayer as a means for us to communicate with him, to share with him, to hear from him. It's a means through which he says he'll work through our prayers. You know, and it's also an activity, though, that draws us together. And this is what Paul's kind of getting at. Now, when we speak of prayer, what are we talking about? What is this kind of praying together? What does it mean to pray together? Well, it can mean many things. It could mean simply just praying with another person. You know, you get with another person, you say, let's pray together. It could mean that you're in a big group corporately and you're praying together, right? Or it could be that you're several people, maybe you're not physically together, but you're all praying for the same thing at the same time. That's all what it means to pray together. And these prayers that we pray, they can be for specific personal needs. They could be in response to personal or corporate thanksgiving, or praying for our church or our leaders, praying for our world, like our town and our neighbors, leaders, schools, you know, our nation, things like that. And here at Joy, we have many opportunities to be praying together. at our studies in our groups. You know, we have our ladies' groups and we have our midweek and things like that, the youth group, opportunity to get together and pray together, right? At our monthly upper room that just happened this morning. We have a group that gets together every month, and from 9 till 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, they pray together for the needs, but also for the leadership of the church and for our mission as a church and things like that. We also, at the end of this month, we have our day of prayer. And this is something we have every year at our church where you can come and you can pray by yourself, sign up for a time slot and come pray by yourself or pray with another person or a little small group during the day. And then you come back at 7 o'clock where we gather together and we pray in groups together and we worship together. And it doesn't have to be formal that we come together and pray. I see people coming even before service or after service and I see them huddled up praying together. Okay, so here at Joy, it's a high priority that we be praying together. Praying together as followers of Jesus, it should be our priority, as it is incredibly valuable. You see, when we pray together, some exciting things happen. So if you're just used to praying by yourself, try praying together, and you will see exciting things happen. Like what? Well, things like such as when we're praying together, we learn from each other. Do you know that? When we pray with other people, we get to learn from each other. We get to learn about faith. We also get to learn how we can pray. Have you ever prayed by yourself and you're sitting here praying and you're like, am I doing this right? Do you ever have those thoughts and you're trying to pray and you're like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to say. Am I praying the right thing? Am I supposed to be praying for this? Am I praying the right way? Am I using the right word? And all these things kind of can go through your mind. I don't know about you. With me, that's been a struggle. And you're just like, I don't know. Is there a right way to do this? And sometimes we don't really see. Sometimes we get to the point where we say, man, I hear other people, they talk about, they prayed and they see God work. I don't necessarily see that. How do they pray and see God work? And I don't pray and I don't really see him work. What am I doing wrong? Well, maybe we need to get together and see what they're doing and hear how they're doing, and we can learn from each other. In fact, this is where the disciples of Jesus were at one time. They were following Jesus, and they were listening to him teach, and they were watching him heal people, and they're like, this is amazing. And then from time to time, they would see Jesus go away and pray by himself, and he would come back, and he would do amazing things, and they're like, man, what is this all about? So one time, and Luke talks about this in chapter 11. He says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples came up to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. John being John the Baptist. John the Baptist was one of the great religious leaders at the time, and you know, he came before Jesus, and his leaders would pray, you know. His followers would pray. So the disciples are like, Jesus, we see you praying. Can you teach us how to pray? Can we learn from you as we pray together? And Jesus says, sure. Actually, verse 2, he says, and he said to them, when you pray, say this. And what follows is what many of us know as the Lord's Prayer, right? It's a model, a framework for praying to God. So he's teaching them by praying together. He's teaching them how to pray, right? He says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day your daily bread. Forgive us our sins. All that, right? And he's teaching. The disciples learned much about prayer from Jesus and from praying with him. Likewise, we can learn so much from other people when we get together and we pray together with them. We can learn to have better communion with God. Ourselves, better time with God ourselves when we're learning from other people. We can learn things like, you know, how to more fully pray for someone. You know, we get a prayer request and we're like, man, how do we pray for this person? All right, I just pray they're sick, so I pray you feel better. But then you're praying with other people and you not only see, well, that's one way we can pray for somebody who's sick, but you hear somebody else then pray, and Lord, I pray for their family, that you strengthen them as they are helping them, that you can keep them strong as well. And you're like, oh, I never thought to pray for that for somebody. Wow, that's pretty neat. Somebody else says, I pray that you use them as a testimony, even through their pain. Wow, I never thought to do that. All of a sudden, when you're praying with other people, you're learning, well, praying for somebody is more than just saying, well, I hope you get better. I can also pray these other things. So it helps us more fully pray for people. It also helps us approach God differently because people approach God in different ways. And we can learn different ways to approach God. You know, I've learned a lot about how to pray from praying with others. In fact, one of the people I learned a lot from is my dad. Now, if you don't know my dad, you need to know my dad. My dad's awesome. I mean, he's the best. And my dad, he's not a huge talker. He's not a public speaker or orator or anything like that. He's not this big eloquent guy, kind of like me, you know, kind of like me. Not very eloquent or anything like that. He's just down-to-earth, good guy, right? Regular guy who loves to talk about sports and fishing and life and such as that, you know. That's my dad. However, when he prays, he's different. You know why? Because when he prays what we call King James. You know what that means? It's really cool. I mean, I'll be talking with my dad, and we'll be talking about the Eagles, and be like, man, the Eagles, they stink. They got to get this going, and I don't know why they're just not doing this. But then we'll get together, and we'll say, all right, we got to pray. And all of a sudden, my dad starts to pray. And it's, Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy blessings. Thou alone art worthy of praise. And we pray your blessings upon us all. And you're just listening to that prayer. And you know what? When I was younger, we used to giggle at that and say, what is he talking? Who is this? But you know, as I grew older and as I prayed with him more, I start to realize, you know why he prayed like this? You know why he prayed very formal and big like this? Is because when my dad prays to God, he's praying to a big God. When he prays, he's walking into the throne room of God. And it's a big deal. His conversation is different because God is different. God is the King of all, the Creator, Sustainer of all things, the one alone who's to be praised, who has all power and authority. So you know what my dad taught me and continues to teach me? That sometimes I need to approach God formally, humbly, into his presence. And I learned that from somebody else. I wouldn't have learned that by myself, praying by myself. Another person I learned about prayer on the other end of the spectrum is my buddy Terry. Many of you may know Terry, the missionary in Tajikistan. And Terry and I, we go way back, and we used to get together, and we used to just hang out and talk, and we'd be hanging out and all this stuff, and we're just talking. And then all of a sudden, I'd realize, he's not talking to me anymore. He's talking to God. And sometimes I'd be answering him like we were having a conversation because he would go seamlessly from a conversation into me to just be like, so yeah, I was doing this the other day, and God, we just hope that you, as we do this, we can do this. And it's like, I didn't even know he was talking to God, and because he was just so seamless and conversational. It's just like he was having a conversation with Jesus standing right with us in our little circle, and we're just talking. And it was wild, and I was like, wow, I can come to God like this too, to picture God standing right with me and have a real life conversation with him and be me. You see, what Terry taught me is sometimes I can come to God in prayer as a simple conversation, just in the midst of my day. But you know what? What this is all saying is we can learn a lot from others about how to pray, so that we can pray better, so we can have better time with God. You see, praying together exposes us to the prayer life of others and can teach us much growing our own prayer life. So that's one of the cool things that happens when we pray. Another neat thing that happens when we pray is that as we pray together, we get to sense God's presence together. Jesus said in Matthew, relational to prayer, and he's talking to his followers about prayer. He says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20 is key. He says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Or there I am in the midst of them. I am present. God will be with us when we pray together. Do you know that? Now, God is everywhere. And I know some of you that are in the Wednesday night class are like, wait a minute, God is everywhere. One of the things we learned about in learning about the attributes of God is we learned God is omnipresent, which is a big word. It just means that he is everywhere at all times in all places in his fullness. We can't go anywhere where God isn't present. Whether we're shooting hoops, playing, praying alone or with others, he is with us. So what does Jesus mean then by saying where two or three are gathered in my name or praying together, there I am in the midst of them? Here's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that when two or three or more are gathered in prayer, they will sense God's presence together. Have you ever been in a group and maybe you're worshiping or you're in a worship service and one person, man, they're just going at it and you're just sitting here going, I don't really feel much of anything. And you're like, wow, they really are. Well, you know what happens when we pray together? God shows his presence to us together, corporately. I mean, we can certainly sense God's presence when we're by ourselves, but to sense God's presence together is different because we all get it. And we're all like, oh, there's something happening. There's something powerful happening. We had that when we were on the mission trip in Arizona. Sometimes when we'd be praying, you could just feel that there was something different. But you know why? Because God was in our midst. His presence was not just for me, but it was all of us together. And we would get it. And what it does is we experience his presence at the same time when we're keyed in on the same thing. And when we're seeking the same thing. And all of a sudden, we sense God's presence in that way. And it soars our worship and our prayer. And it binds us together better. It kind of gives us this greater energy, right? A focus. Because there's all of a sudden more power that's going on in our midst as we pray together. And this kind of leads us to a third awesome benefit of when we're praying together. Because as God's presence is among us, when we pray together, we unify our hearts. Praying together builds unity. It brings us together around what we're praying about, right? So it builds unity. You know, when we have our day of prayer coming up at the end of this month, there's certain things that we're going to be praying about on our prayer sheet. We're going to have goals for the church. We're going to have leadership. We're going to have some of our activities coming up and things like that on the sheet. And you know what? As people come throughout the day, we're all going to be praying for those same things. So you know what that does? That builds unity because it says, well, how can I be praying for joy? Well, we're all praying the same prayers for joy. Maybe not the same exact words, but for the same thing. So we're unified. We're together on this. We say, this is what we believe God has said is important for us this year. And this brings our hearts together, or it unifies us around these common themes. So it clarifies what God is doing. You know, this is something that marked Jesus' disciples. Right after Jesus departed, he went back into heaven. We find this in Acts. It says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. And who is he talking about? He's talking about his disciples. Jesus just left. And he told them, wait in Jerusalem. Well, while they're in Jerusalem, you know what they do? They pray. They pray together in one accord. That's not car. You know what one accord means? In unity. Okay? And they're praying. They're committing themselves to prayer together, even with others that weren't just his 11 disciples that were left there. Also, the women that had followed Jesus and his mother and his brothers. So you know what prayer's doing? It's bringing Jesus' earthly family together. But it's bringing them together, and it's unifying them. In fact, this praying together, it was preparing them. It was preparing them to be unleashed on their world. In fact, we see that right at the beginning of Acts 2, don't we? It says here's what it says in the beginning of Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrives, they were all together in one place. What do you think they were doing all together in one place? Okay, I heard three people. What do you think they were doing together in one place? They were praying, right? They were together, right? They devoted themselves to that. So when they're together, that's what they would be doing. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, right? It was the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they then went forth together with power. Do you know why? Because praying together unified them. It brought them together. They were ready for God to show himself for them. Do you know when we pray together and we're praying for things, we can expect together. We can look for things together. So when we're praying for our activities, like breakfast at Bethlehem, right? We have breakfast in Bethlehem coming up December. We're starting praying now, right? We have people praying for that. So that we're looking and we're expecting God to work. And we're looking forward to that together. That's unity. You see, and we can experience this unity when we are praying together by physically praying with others or even praying for the same things. Even when we're apart, we're praying for the same things, so we're still praying for together. And it unifies us as we pray for these individual needs, these church needs, our nation, our neighbors, our world. And it helps us hone our focus or sharpen our focus together with God's work. That's what praying together does. That's why it's so important. Praying together, it helps us live out God's call for us as individuals and as a church. It helps us learn from others. It helps us sense God's presence better and form unity together so that we're together following God. So, as we wrap up, where do we go from here? What do we do about it? All right, we say, all right, yeah, we're supposed to pray together. So what do we do? Well, I have two challenges for you this week. Okay, two ways you can respond coming up this week and this month. First challenge is this. You're going to get together with one other person and pray with them this week. You're going to pray together with another person. It could be a group of people. It could be one other person. But you're going to get together and you're going to pray with somebody. And you say, that's terrifying. Because I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. What if I say the wrong thing? Here's what you do then. You have them pray first. And if you're both terrified, then, you know, rock, paper, scissors, whatever. But somebody's got to start. But just go for it. You know how you pray together? You pray to God yourself, but you're together. So then you kind of just, it's just how you talk with somebody. And you're together. So you're going to get together with another person. It can be praying for an individual need. It can be praying for our church, praying for God's mission, whatever. But I want you at least one time this week to gather with at least one other person and pray with them. Everybody can do that? Cool. Then this month, later this month, we have our day of prayer. Okay? Again, one of our big ways that we participate in praying together. So your challenge is to participate in the day of prayer. Couple ways you do that. First, sign up for a time slot. They start at 6 o'clock, go all the way to 7 o'clock. These time slots, you can stay for 5 minutes, you can stay for an hour, you can stay for 20 minutes, 10 minutes. You can just come in and just pray and leave. You can come by yourself or you can come with another person. Again, we're going to have prayer guides. So with specific things to pray about, but also where you can be working through some scripture and things. So it'll help kind of guide you through. Together. Then come back at 7 o'clock because we're going to be here corporately praying together and we're going to be worshiping a little bit and then getting into smaller groups and praying for specific things for our church and some of our activities this year, our mission as a church. So those are your two challenges, okay? Get together with somebody this week and pray together. Secondly, participate in the day of prayer at the end of this month, okay? So that's praying together. Now, as we look at our challenge for the year and moving forward in our challenge, even beyond just praying together, I have one more thing that we can do for joy together to kind of let this sink into us that this is about joy together. And it's something we did back in 2015. You remember Live Joy? What's one thing we did with Live Joy? Karen? Okay. You would go, and no matter what you were doing, you'd have somebody take your picture, and you were like, Live Joy! And then you would post it on the church's Facebook page and on your social media with the hashtag LiveJoy. Well, this year, since it's Joy Together, I don't want individual pictures of people. I want pictures of you together, maybe at your Bible study, at youth group, you know, at one of our activities. Downstairs today at Joy Cafe, somebody get a camera out, and everybody can go, you know, Joy Together. And then take that picture and post it with the hashtag Joy Together. And what we're going to do this year is we're going to have all these photos then. And every time we see these photos, we're going to be reminded, guess what? This is about joy together. We are better together as we follow God's mission for us. Let's pray this morning.